Well, you know, it's been, we did make it last Tuesday. Yeah. We didn't make it last Wednesday, we didn't make it last Sunday, two Sundays straight in a row. But I tell you what I think we need to do. I think we just need to lift our hands and just praise the Lord that we was able to come to church tonight and just praise the Lord that we're going to be here Sunday.
That's right.
I ain't worried about no more snow because I don't think he's going to allow it to snow no more. We'd have missed two Sundays. And I've had the preachers to call me and say, well, how was services yesterday? I said, well, I reckon they had a good service. I had one at his house. He said, what am I, you didn't have service? I said, nope, sure didn't. I was just a little bit icy out there. He said, man, what's the matter? You don't trust God enough? I said, well, man, wait a minute now. I said, well, I'm going back to what my mother-in-law used to say. My mother-in-law told me, he said, son, says, God did give you a head. And he said, you're supposed to use it more than just for a hat rack. And I says, I look at it this way. If we have church, we go to church. If we have two people go out here, you can always have some people who are going to try it. And if they try it and they come out, they happen to have an accident, somebody, probably won't be their fault, but somebody run into them, they have an accident, then the next thing they, you know, they're going to be out. Not just that Sunday. They're going to be out there Wednesday night, the next Sunday, the next Wednesday night. And they probably won't be able to get to even make it to the revival because they're going to be so, it's injured to the fact that they would be in the hospital. And they won't be able to come out. I said, I'd rather give the devil one day and give him a whole month. But I didn't cancel it just because I wanted to cancel it. I canceled it because I believe that that's what we needed to do for the safety of the people. And that's what you got to look at. You got to look at the safety of the people. Tonight, if you will, turn to the book of Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. How many of you have been praying for the upcoming revival and the upcoming Jubilee? If you hadn't been praying for it, now's the time to start. We need to start praying like we never have before. But you know, if we don't pray for it, it means that we don't want it. I want revival. I want to have a closer walk with the Lord. I want to be closer to Him. And the only way that we can get closer to Him is have an old-fashioned, blood-bought, Spirit-filled, King James, devil-hating, revival. But here in Galatians chapter 10. Chapter 6, excuse me. It's chapter 6. Chapter 10. It's chapter 6 and verse 10. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. This is Paul's letter to the Galatians, and not just to the Galatian people, but it's also the letter to each one of us tonight. But Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. As we have therefore opportunities, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. What this right here is telling me and you, what Paul is telling us, that the Lord Jesus Christ now has given us many opportunities to serve Him. He's given us many opportunities to do His work. And sometimes we forget about it. Sometimes we think, well, if I don't do it, then somebody else will. But I want you to think on this point. If you don't do it, and if I don't do it, and if the other people don't do it, it's not going to get done. So we don't need to look at it that way. God has given each one of us an opportunity to do what He has asked us all to do. And we should want to do it. Why? Because He saved us. Because He has done something for us that we could not do for ourselves. And He's given us this opportunity. And He's given us this opportunity because of the household of faith that He has placed us in. He's placed us in the household of faith in the likeness of the people that believe in the Word of God. Now, what I'm going to say right here, please don't take it the wrong way, but I don't have but one way to put it, but speaking of the household of faith and speaking about the opportunities, you know, if we just get saved, if an individual just gets saved, now, then that's when our work just starts. We must not just leave them on the sideline and help and let them figure out the ways that they need to go. We don't need to just let them say, well, now you're saved, you have the Word of God, you come to church, and you'll hear the Word of God. But we're not supposed to just do that. We're supposed to help them along the way. We're supposed to help them in the ways for them to go. Because just like I've told y'all many, many times before, and I'll continue on telling people this, 30 years of serving the devil, you just can't all of a sudden just get saved and think you're going to serve the Lord and do everything right. Because you're not. I didn't. And nobody else did. Nobody else will. We must take up. We must take up the grain of mustard seed. We must take up the faith that He's given us to where we can take that individual and lead and guide and direct them in the ways that they need to go. And we don't need to just say with him, here it is now. The city of Danville has got churches on every corner. Now it's up to you to go out here and find the church that God is pleased with you about. We shouldn't do that. Because there are a whole lot of individuals, there's a whole lot of churches out here that is not preaching the truth. They are preaching a lie. We are supposed to ground them. We are supposed to build them up in the Lord. And if we don't build them up, who is? The devil. The devil's going to use his crowd to build up the new converts. And we don't need to put the new converts in the hands of the devil. Because if we do, we're going to lose them. We're going to lose them to the point that they're going to get back out here into the world and get back in doing the things that the devil wants them to do. And we don't need to do that. We need to take them under our wing. We need to teach them. And if we can't teach them, if we cannot teach them the right things and what the Word of God says, then we need to go about and allowing somebody else in the church and say, Sister so-and-so, Brother so-and-so, Preacher, Deacon, I need your help. I need your help in building this individual up. Because I'm scared I'm going to lose them. When we get to that point in a Christian life, if we get that, I believe, bedded in our soul that we're scared to the point that we may lose them to the devil, then we become better Christians. And we'll be better converts. We'll be better leaders. We'll be better soldiers for Christ. We must be the ones that are willing to take the stand. We must be willing to be the ones that will say, hey, doesn't make no difference what anybody else says about me. I need help. I believe I'm on. Go to my deacon, I'm going to ask him, can he help me? I believe I'm going to go to Sister so-and-so and I'm going to ask them to help me, to lead me, to teach me what I need to be taught. Because they're new in it. They're new in the faith. They're new in trusting God. They're new in the walk of the Lord. But it says right here, it says, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. He's given each one of these Christians, each one of the ones that are saved by the grace of God, he's given them an opportunity that where they have an opportunity to do God's work. And I promise you, on the authority of God's word, God is not going to allow you to do anything for him. God's not going to allow you to go out here and teach somebody something and let you go by yourself. No, why? Because we got, who is that? The Comforter? The Holy Ghost? The Holy Spirit? We got the Holy Spirit that will teach us and what that individual needs. And really, when I got to thinking about these things, I got to thinking about Brother James Hughes. That was my Sunday school teacher right after I first got saved. I went to Sunday school that Sunday morning, went to preaching. Sunday morning, Sunday night, went back to preaching that Sunday night. But before I left church that Sunday night, He come up to him and he says, what you doing tomorrow night? What time you got off work? We'd like to come out there and visit you. And he come out and he visited him and two other men. They come out and they visit my home. And they was teaching me what God's word was saying, that I'm not just saved now. I'm saved for Christ's sake. I'm saved because Jesus Christ wants me to do a work for Him. And then the next Sunday morning, I went to church at Sweeney tonight, but the next Sunday morning when I went to church, Sunday morning and Sunday night and everything, he come up to me Sunday night and he says, what are you doing tomorrow afternoon? What time you get off work tomorrow afternoon? I told him. He said, how about meeting us up here with church tomorrow night at 7 o'clock? I said, okay. I never had no idea what they was going to do. And here I go up there, and he says, we go inside the church, and we started praying for this one and that one and everything. And then I says, what are we going to do now? I didn't have no idea. They said, we're going on visitation. Now here I was, I was 30 years old, and with some that a little younger than I was, with some that was older than I was, I didn't know what it was about. And I just came up and asked them. I says, what's the visitation? They said, we go around and visit people. We'll go around and knock on people's doors, see if they're in church, and see if they're saved. But see, he took me under his wing, and he taught me, and he taught me, and he was teaching me. And from that time until the time I left the church, I went on visitation every Monday night with him. I learned some things from him. We can learn from one another. You can learn from somebody else within the church, and I can learn from you. You say, preacher, come on now. And here you are, the preacher. You're the pastor. You're supposed to know it all. Hey, the more I get in this book, the more I read it, the more I find out, is the less I know about His Word. Why? Because of what His Word tells me. Because why? Because the Holy Ghost, my comforter, reveals unto me some new things in His Word. And you say, well, I done read that, and I done read that, and I done read that. I've read that, I know, 25, 30 times. I've been preached on that and everything. But I've never seen it that way. We all can learn. Yes, I need to learn every day. We all can learn. Ye see how large a letter that I have written unto you with my own hands. This right here, I believe, is speaking of God. The large letter. The large letter which was of His hands. I know that God's Word says that the Holy Spirit allowed and helped the individuals to pin down his words. But before the Holy Spirit could utter them words and give them words to Paul to be able to pin them down, he had to get them words from somebody. Who did he get them words from? He got them from God. He got them from God. You see how large a letter I have written unto you, and my hand and my mind on hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the faith, they constrain you to be circumcised only, lest they should suffer persecution from the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to him to have to him to have you circumcised, that they may glory in the flesh. Crucified in the flesh. And restoration. He was crucified in the flesh. But it was also restored. His flesh and his body had been restored, like unto a new body. His body was perfect, except for three things. Three things of Jesus that was not perfect. And that was the sin that we placed upon his body that day. That's the sin that we carried, and he took it upon his hands, and it pierced his hands. And the sin that we also had that pierced his feet and pierced his side. And then the crown of thorns was pressed down upon his head. That was not a perfect body. But everything else about him was completely perfect. No flaws or anything. But the reason they was there, and the reason his body wasn't completely perfect, is because when I get to heaven, and when I stand before Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior, how am I going to recognize the Lord Jesus Christ? The only way I'm going to recognize who he is by the sin of my life that's on his body. We all are going to see that body one day. We're all going to see the scars that we placed there. We're all going to look upon him and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm so, so sorry, Lord. I didn't mean it, Lord. But then what did he say? Don't look upon me. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he wasn't just speaking to the ones there around the cross that day. He wasn't just speaking to his mother and to his brother John. He wasn't just speaking to his family there, all the ones that was around the cross. He was speaking to every living soul that placed their sin upon his body. We placed it there. We was a part of that that resurrection that day. But I'm so thankful that I serve a God in heaven to look down upon me and he says, Donnie, I forgive you. I forgive you, for you know not what you do. I didn't know what I was doing. You didn't either. His mother didn't know what she had done. His brother John didn't know what he had done. His other disciples that was there around him, they didn't know what they had done. Even the soldiers, they really didn't know what they had done. But see, not only did he forgive me and forgive his mother and his brother John and all the ones that ran there, he even forgave the ones that took that hammer and took that nail and pierced his side and pierced his hand and everything. He forgave them also because he said, forgive them. And I don't think them would have meant just one or two or three or four. I believe when he was speaking about them, he was speaking about everyone that had some type of part in it. And we all had a part in it. You said, preacher, how can I have a part in it? I wasn't even there then. Preacher, how could I have a part? I wasn't even born then. You still had a part in it. I still had a part in it. Why? Because of the first Adam. Because of the first Adam. He sinned against God. But thanks be to God. God did not let that first Adam come and just rule and reign. But God the Father, he brought about the second Adam. The second Adam. The rules and reigns. The second Adam that forgives of our sins. The second Adam. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I love him, I love him tonight more than I ever have before. I love him more and more every day. I cannot do enough for him. I know that. I love trying. Still he looks at me. And he still looks at me as a sinner. But I'm so thankful that God the Father don't look to me as a sinner. Why? Because he sees the blood. He sees his own son's blood that's been cast out. That's been... Glory! Hallelujah! Praise God. He allowed his blood, hallelujah, not to just drop upon the ground, but he had his own flesh and his own blood there, not to drop the ground, and it did not hit the ground. When it come forth and went straight to heaven. It went straight to heaven. Because why? Because it's in God's hands. Why? Because God has my blood there. And he says, and he always turns to his son and says, son, says, what blood? What sin are you talking about? I see no blood. I see no sin.
I see no wickedness. But I see you all in his life. I see you for what he has done for you. And I see you for what you've done for him. Your blood covers his life. That's the only thing that I see, Father. Then the father comes back and says, Son, you know what I see? I see your precious blood. How precious is his blood? It's precious. How precious is his blood? It's precious. How precious is his blood? It's precious. How precious is his blood? His blood was so precious to me because he saved my unworthy soul that was dying and going to hell, and I was about ready to bust hell wide open. But thanks be to God that he gave his life for my soul. Hallelujah. Come on now. We got to get on the bandwagon here. Amen. All right. Well, good to be here tonight. Hadn't it? Hallelujah. I know I may have rambled some tonight, but that's all right. I try not to, but sometimes I get off on. Sometimes I bet some people say, and say, I believe that you lost your calling. I said, what you mean? He said, I don't believe you called to preach. He said, I believe you called to be to run beagles. I said, no, I don't think so, because I couldn't run no beagles. Because if I wouldn't run them one time and they'd be gone, there wouldn't be nowhere around. Oh, man. Everyone stand, head bowed and eyes closed. Our Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this afternoon. Father, we're so thankful and we so thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be back in thy house tonight. Lord, I know we've missed church. But Father, we just didn't miss church because we wanted to. Father, I believe, Lord, that there was a reason behind it. Maybe, Lord, we was getting complacent. Maybe we was just getting a little satisfied with ourselves. But Father, now we just ask, Lord, that you just touch each and every one. Father, as we dismiss tonight from this service, Lord God, that you would touch our hearts and touch our souls, Father, that we will go out and meet other people and talk to them and invite them to the house of the Lord. Father, the reason the things are not happening is not because of you, Father. It's because of us. It's because of me, Father. And Lord, I ask God that your touch will be upon me. And Father, help us, Lord, the people that we talk to, Lord God, that they will just feel the sense of love, that your love will go through us and, Father, will illuminate upon the people that we do talk about, and that to allow the people to understand that we do love them and we care for them, Father. And we just want to help them. Father, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.